Look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. For some of you, kindness is second nature. You're a kind person. You want others to feel at ease. Sometimes people take advantage of that kindness. But how to be kind? What type of person is kind? Now, most of us have busy lives. But kindness needs cooperation. Kindness is more than me. Kindness involves people sometimes that we don't know. But we have no control over how people will use the kindness that we show. So I began thinking of incidents in the Old Testament where kindness was shown and the reactions were somewhat surprising. Look with me to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Verse 15. And David said with longing, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." Now, in our experience with others that we know and love, you may hear something sometime. Something a person you know would like to do. And you store that in your mind. Or something that a person likes. I have a wife who does that kind of storing. She knows a lot of people. She knows even what cookies some people like. So she'll go out of her way to make the cookie they like. Now, for instance, there's a restaurant where we go. "Sorry, my dear, but you're a very kind person, so you're good. I know you don't like you to be the center, but let me just tell you about this." So we go to this restaurant on Saturday mornings. We have breakfast. And we've gotten to know the people next to us. They come every Saturday, and they have breakfast. And the lady that waits on us, she always knows exactly what we want. So I didn't even know she did this. But I don't know where. She had three boxes of cookies. And the waitress came, and she said, "I've got these cookies for you." And, "Oh, well, thank you so much." Now, the three people there were sitting there, and the husband and wife and this other fellow. And we've talked about the gospel and so on. And so I go over to the table, and I put the two boxes of cookies down. And I remember Carolyn said, "And there's some chocolate ones in there for your son." They didn't know what to say. They must have thanked us five times. Now, never occurred to me to make cookies for anybody. Where does that come from? That concern to make people feel better. Oh, we want people to believe. We want people to think clearly. We want people to have good doctrine. to have that kind spirit. So David makes a request. Oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well. So the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was there by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Now that's a kind act. I mean, they're at war with the Philistines. They could have lost their lives. They sacrificed their own comfort to bring their king water that he requested. Now, I know we're going to exalt David in this passage, what he did with the water, but I think of those three valiant soldiers. It took nerve, cunning, bravery to show such kindness. It overwhelmed David. Overwhelmed him. So they gave him the water. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. Now, I'm just trying to look at this in a practical way from different points of view. I know that those of you who have a kind spirit would say, oh, that's so beautiful. Some of you may be like me. I risk my neck. I brought you the water. Just take a sip. Well, maybe they had something to learn. But David was so overwhelmed that his military men would sacrifice their lives to give him a drop of water. Back in Quebec, in the little meeting we had there in Valley Field, there was a family that came. They had four children. And he died suddenly, heart attack. So we said, we'll bring you to meeting. This woman and her four children. We'd gladly do that as unto the Lord. 9 years we brought that family to the meeting. And then the circumstances were such that we said to her and her kids now, or, you know, they were little babies, 2 and 3 year old are all getting in the teens and 9 years. And we said, Mrs. So-and-so, we can no longer bring you to the meeting. In the 9 years, she never said thank you. And this is what she said to me. I prefer the other preachers anyway. I don't like your ministry. Now, is that going to stop us from showing kindness? Of course not. Do you think this deterred these soldiers from honoring David? No. I just sort of gave a human reaction to what they sacrificed in showing kindness and how it really touched him deeply. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 7. Verse 3. For there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate. And they said to one another, are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore, come let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. Now notice their logic. I know there are those who don't think there's humor. I find humor here, right at this moment, in this passage. This is, to me, this is funny. Sorry, but if they keep us alive, we shall die. And then if they kill us, we shall only die. So, we're going to die. But at least let's go to the Syrian camp and plead our case. Now they go, and you know the story so well, and everything is they're gone, and the Lord made them hear chariots by the wind, and they're gone. They left everything, left the tents, all the food, the money, the animals, everything. Verse 9. Then they said to one another, "We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household." This is the spirit of kindness. Many of us have many things for which we thank the Lord. There's an abundance. And in our abundance, we praise God for what He's doing for us. Some of us have a good health. We know there are many who in this meeting are suffering. Physically. We have enough to eat. But kindness will win out. And we look at our circumstances. And we know people who are shut-ins. And people who need comfort. Maybe we don't feel like it. But sometimes we come to ourselves and we're not doing the right thing here. We've got so much. We're enjoying life so wonderfully. And we seek out those in need. Now that's not easy to do. We can be polite to each other. But politeness isn't necessarily kindness. Politeness is sharing hellos and goodbyes and ideas. But kindness wants to do something for someone. Like the Good Samaritan. Person is in need. Takes care of them. There are people who are hurting, people in our families, people in our assembly. Be kind to one another. Create an opportunity of kindness. It just doesn't happen. Sometimes it just happens. Giving the cookies to these people in the restaurant is wonderful because a kind person does that. So we have a little, sometimes we have a little conversation together. My dear, kind wife. I said, I'm just bearing my thought. I said, do you always have to go the second mile? Can't you tone it down a bit? Why are you doing that? Because I like to do it. I have no answer. I feel about this big. Just don't say anything, Bob. And usually when it comes to decisions of kindness, I'm wrong. I trip over myself. Now, we don't want to pretend. My brother Arthur's wife, we died an atheist. She's an atheist, and we were visiting them. And she said, you know, I go down to the homeless, and we feed them. We go down there and feed them. I like doing that. I said, well, that's commendable. Tell me something, Wynn. How do you dress when you go down there? What do you mean? Do you wear those earrings and that gold and that jewelry and that expensive suit? Oh, I don't like talking to you. You always come up with something. Now, we want to show kindness because we know God has been so kind to us. He's given us so much. He's given us the great privilege of getting to know Him, to understand Him, to be part of His kingdom and His life, and our future is in His hands. There's nothing, you know, we talked about this in a different message. You know, how precious is the loving kindness of God. But how to bring that, I'm back to this first reaction impulse in our lives. How do we express kindness because it's part of our nature? Why would Paul have to tell the believers, be kind to one another? Now let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to the Shunem, where there was a noble woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. In Lachute, Quebec, the mother of one of the women, the French woman who was at the Valleyfield meeting, lived in, was well known in the community. Well known. Anybody who came to her door in need got a meal. So one day, two men came to the door, rapped on the door. Yes? Lady? This is all in French. Lady? We tried to get something to eat in town. And they said, we're not going to give you anything to eat. But there's a lady, a white house up on the hill. She feeds anybody. Go up there and get some food. They said, is that true? Would you give us some food? Come in. Sat them down, gave them a meal. She said, you're still hungry, aren't you? Yes. I didn't give you enough. I'll prepare another meal for you. What? So we were visiting her, or I was visiting her one day, and said, "I'm so glad you came, Bob, but there are my nephews coming. And he's bringing a couple, and they're just all out of the asylum. They got out yesterday. The asylum. And they're coming here to eat. I want you to meet them." I said, "Is it all right?" "Oh, yes. They won't hurt you. But you may find them odd." One guy was huge. Must have been 300 pounds. Walked in. "Food!" The woman came in with her husband and her hair was right straight up. Just. And I looked at the woman and she said. So they sat down and he had to feed the woman. A while after they ate, the big guy got up. I'm going to clean up the language. The big guy got up and said, "I'm going to go get a woman." That's not what he said, but figure the rest of how he said it. Mrs. MacArthur, that's the woman's name, was not fazed by any of this because she was full of kindness. And when you're full of kindness, you do kind acts. You don't have to worry, think about it. How can I be kind? You just express that. And this is what Paul wanted the believers to do in the fellowship of God's people, in the assembly of God. Be kind to one another. Now she said to her husband, verse 9, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly." Now she's going to show a great deal of kindness. "Please let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed for him there and a table and a chair and a lampstand, so it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." And it happened one day that he came there and he turned in to the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite woman." When he had called her, she stood before him, and he said to her, and she said to him, "See now." And he said to him, "See now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you?" Now, in being kind, for those who are kind, the fact of doing something is their reward. They do it out of love, out of devotion to Christ. They don't expect anything in return. They may be rebuffed. People may take advantage of them. But sometimes, this story is so complex, I won't go into every detail of the story. Elisha wanted to do something for the woman. And sometimes in getting involved in more than you care to think about, it gets very complex, as the story does. But should this happen to you? Should someone respond in a way, in a wonderful way? This woman didn't have a child. Elisha said she would have a child, and she don't lie to me, and so on. There was all kinds of things that took place. But should someone want to do something for you, Don't reject that. Just rejoice. We bought a new home and we invited another missionary couple to see the home. We were ecstatic. We got a good price. It was a lovely little place. Good for where the kids were going to school. And they said, you should be giving glory to God and not to things. I said, I beg your pardon? Don't rejoice that you've got this beautiful home. That's vain. Was that kind? It's a delicate matter. But this woman, I'm just bringing her up, had such a wonderful heart. To think that she would do this for this man of God. And there are consequences. Like I said before, we never can totally control the reaction to our acts of kindness. Story turns out well, very complex. But do you think of kindness? Do you have something against someone that hurts your feelings? Even today, in this meeting, are you a forgiving spirit? Someone brought that to my attention. When something happens to you, not in kindness, and it hurts you deeply, and you forgive that person, it is really evident when you believe the forgiveness was effective. And what is that evidence? When you think back on the situation, you don't get angry. You have no hurt feelings. Ah, that's true forgiveness. You see, the Lord God forgets our sins. Am I very glad He does? He loves us. He forgives us. He empowers us. And all Paul says is, be kind to one another. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be born anew. So grateful that you are our God. And you've sent your Son to be our Savior. And you want us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And you want us to be kind and forgiving. Because you have shown to us so much kindness and so much forgiveness. And as this year closes and as we get into the Christmas holidays, help us to understand what you have given, what it means to be kind. And may we be able to put into our lives those things that will glorify you. This we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.